I was in a relationship, so I trusted, and you're in love. That's what we did as a couple privately. Somehow it became not so private.
Revenge porn is the act of disseminating nude photos of an ex-lover, usually on the internet, without their permission. Scornful ex-lovers seeking revenge may find satisfaction in revealing to the world private, sexual photos of those who broke their heart. That's exactly what Nicole of Fredericksburg, Virginia learned last November. The 25-year-old nursing student found a sexually explicit video of herself on the internet. The video had previously been sent by her to her boyfriend of 8 years. However, when the relationship soured, the intimate video surfaced on a website dedicated to revenge porn. Nicole's intimate video was now being seen by hundreds of internet users, including family, friends, and potential employers.
At that point, you know, you're hysterical and upset. So then I called the Fredericksburg police, and nobody could do anything.
The police could not intervene because until recently, it was not illegal in Virginia to post photos online which were legally obtained. But this year, Virginia, Idaho, and Utah have joined California and New Jersey in criminalizing revenge porn. 19 other states have proposed legislation to do the same, and Representative Jackie Speier is looking to make it a federal crime.
Scorned lovers can now post naughty pictures of you on the internet. Revenge porn has ruined many lives, and those photos oftentimes never go away.
What experts say is a growing problem.
This particular form of harassment is something that's a new phenomenon. It's growing.
Virginia Delegate Marcus Simon has helped make revenge porn a crime in his state. His legislation, House Bill 49, was incorporated into Delegate Bell's House Bill 326, which makes revenge porn a Class 1 misdemeanor in Virginia, punishable by a fine and up to a year in jail. Governor Terry McAuliffe signed the bill last month and will go into effect this July.
So the legislation makes it a crime in Virginia to disseminate pictures of someone in a state of undress. So basically naked pictures of someone without their consent for the purpose of causing them substantial emotional distress.
These are pretty vague terms. And when we're talking about pure speech, that should be troubling.
Lee Rowland of the ACLU says that while revenge porn poses serious harms to victims, states should be leery of criminalizing it.
Revenge porn presents a really tricky issue because what laws against revenge porn tend to criminalize is the posting of an image. And that is pure speech, posting an image. The Supreme Court's position, rightly, and the ACLU's position, is that all speech is by default protected by our First Amendment.
But Simon argues that the law must evolve with the times.
Things that happen online are very real, and they have real implications. And we hear stories from time to time about cyberbullying and harassment leading to real-world consequences, including suicide.
There are real harms there. There are women in particular, people who experience real harms based on malicious invasions of their privacy. Now, usually, privacy is handled by civil law. In almost every state, it is already civilly unlawful to intentionally cause emotional distress in a way that is extremely harmful to someone and is done maliciously. It is already civilly unlawful as a general matter to invade someone's privacy in an intentional and malicious way. Almost every state has a privacy tort of that kind.
But one of the problems with that is access to the courthouse is expensive. The transactional costs can be expensive. Frequently we find that the people that are involved in this kind of activity are young and they're just getting out, they've started professionally. And they may not have the resources to go retain an attorney, you know, for $3,500, $4,000, $5,000.
That's unfortunately a really big issue that applies to so many areas of the law and by no means unique to revenge porn. That global difficulty justifies turning civil laws into criminal laws. Just doesn't pass the giggle test, right? It's expensive to get a divorce. That doesn't mean we make it illegal to be in a bad marriage.
Rowland is concerned that the broad law will criminalize what is normal and constitutionally protected internet behavior, the viewing and sharing of nudity.
One of the really troubling aspects of the Virginia law is that it includes criminalization of posting photographs when the person isn't authorized to post that photograph. That's an inherently vague term. It begs as many questions as it answers. And so while the criminal law certainly can grapple with intent, there are many criminal laws that include an intent element, and in fact it's necessary in most criminal laws to make sure you're aiming at bad actors. The Virginia law has language that's frankly pretty mushy. And figuring out whether someone fits into that intent and whether they're authorized or not to show that photograph, that creates those problems under the First Amendment where somebody doesn't necessarily know from looking at the picture online the context in which that picture was taken.
However, Simon says the courts will be able to distinguish the difference.
We sort of live in a CSI generation where people sometimes think you need to have an absolute piece of physical evidence to prove a case, but a lot of cases are going to be proved by circumstantial evidence.
As a general matter, I'm always very skeptical when the answer to concerns about the breadth or subjectiveness of a criminal law are met with responses that, oh, don't worry about it. Prosecutors will use their good judgment, or we'll figure out from the circumstances whether or not somebody's a bad guy, right? The criminal law is a blunt instrument, and in order to use it correctly and well, it needs to be clear, it needs to be narrowly targeted to the kind of malicious behavior that legislators are trying to stop. I am truly concerned that the new wave of revenge porn laws will create far more problems than solutions.